Welcome to Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 24th of May, recording at 9:32 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Stock markets mostly soft in Asia. Europe managed a few modest gains, very modest gains. We're talking about 0.25% or so. And in the Americas, most markets were slightly weaker, but very small percentage moves on Wall Street following the a bigger sell-off that we'd seen yesterday. But the NASDAQ was down nearly 0.5%, as was the Canadian S&P TSX index. Mexico carved out a gain of 0.5%, and Brazil 1.5% rally, but from quite an oversold level. Long-dated government bond prices mixed in here today. No real action, although the U.S. futures prices reversed some small losses later in the day as the markets slipped into the negative column. The U.S. dollar a little bit easier here today, down 2.5, bigger pardon, down 0.251 on the U.S. dollar index. That's back down to 75.89. But a quiet day for the most part. The euro a little bit steadier, as was sterling, as was the Australian dollar. So greenback a little bit weaker. And precious metals, a good day in here, extremely good day. Gold up to 1525. The silver market had its best day in a while, up 166, and that takes it up to 3657. Platinum up 13, 1769. Palladium up 5. The industrial metals, just check that. They are all a little bit higher in here today, and they've seen some sharp sell-offs recently. Crude oil also bounced. WTI is up to 99.26, and the Brent is back over 110. It's up to 112.30. As I speak, the grain and bean complex, so wheat and corn were weak. Soybeans almost unchanged. Rough rice up a tad. Okay. So, what's it all about in here in terms of this activity? Well, as far as stock markets are concerned, I think that the message is quite clear. They're under a little bit of pressure, and that's probably going to continue once again. Not a bad idea to have some positions hedged. And the reasons, which I've been mentioning daily in these audios, so I won't dwell on it, but the spike in commodity prices that we saw earlier in the year, most notably the run to the upside by crude oil, that moderate spike is contributing to slower GDP growth, or it's triggered slower GDP growth. And then there was some inflation fighting rate tightening in the growth economies, so that's a headwind for equities as well. But I think the main thing is that after two very good years in the stock market, the earnings picture has changed in the sense of 2 years plus of earnings upgrades are now being replaced by some earnings downgrades for the second quarter and the third quarter. And that's certainly justified by events, but I don't think this is a serious overall background, provided the oil prices don't run up again. I've often described crude oil as a game changer, And there's no doubt in my mind that another spike in crude oil to the upside would trigger a bear market of some statistical degree. I don't think we're going to see anything like what happened in 2008, and I hope we don't get the oil price spike to the upside. We ought to be able to avoid that, but the supply-demand balance is very tight. So if there was another production scare, then we could see damagingly higher oil prices again. I think that's a less than 50-50 chance, but it's a higher risk than I would really like to see at this time. So it leaves a tricky overall environment here for stock markets. If we start thinking about the euro and the euro region's debt problems, if we think about the banking problems over the foreclosures and who actually owns the properties and so on in the U.S. property market, then one can work up quite a lather. But I don't own any bank shares, and I don't wish to own any bank shares, or at least not those bank shares. And the strong point for investors in terms of the US and also in terms of Europe is that there are a number of multinational companies which have global brands which are leveraged to the global economy, in other words, leveraged particularly to the growth economies, which are doing very well, which are earning quite decent profits, which have very solid balance sheets. And in other words, lots of cash, and they're in a strong position. Now, that's what it's really about, I think, the corporate strength, and not the government deficit so much, or the banking problems. One can invest and avoid those areas. Now, if those areas gain center stage in terms of public perceptions, then everything suffers somewhat, but that just creates a better buying opportunity in the investments that we really like. I don't see a big rally anytime soon. This is a seasonal period of underperformance. It is what is historically a good year, but having come off two very strong years, it's hardly surprising we get a bit of a lull in here this year. I think there's a reasonable chance, provided oil does not spike and if other commodity prices settle back, especially the grain and bean complex, but that requires some miraculously good weather. But if they did settle back, then I think that would set the stage for quite possibly a decent stock market performance in the fourth quarter of this year. But we'll have to wait and see. It's really going to be a question of do the headwinds continue to subside? In other words, softer commodity prices for a while. We called for a medium-term correction in commodities at least a couple of months ago. I think that's certainly borne out, but will it be big enough a correction to make a real difference? And will prices range for long enough just to calm some of the inflation fears? I hope so, but I don't know, and we'll just have to watch that and see what takes place. So that leaves us with trading opportunities. I don't have very many of them on right now. I think my most active things recently have been some shorts in commodity futures, some shorts in stock market futures. Took my profits in the commodity futures too soon, and I put my break-even stops on the stock market futures in too soon prior to getting ready to go away on my holiday tomorrow. I'll take the laptop. I may do something while I'm up there in Wales with the family. And I'll certainly keep in touch with what's going on here generally. But my anticipation is that I'll come back and stock markets won't have done much on the upside, but they might have moved a little bit lower. And that's commodities. I think there's possibly some scope for a little bit more of a move to the downside, with the exception of precious metals. Now, this is interesting because I have been following that peak in silver. Thought, well, that's it. The window of opportunity has closed. It was a predictable peak, a big sharp reaction. I think it'll certainly be a while in terms of a number of months before, if not longer, before silver retests that high. But gold has come storming back in here, and I think that reflects some of the concern that equities were maybe a little bit overhyped as the only game in town, and people who don't particularly want to buy bonds, and there's not much of a yield that they're getting in cash, at least not in the West. So gold beckons, and whereas it was seen as somewhat of a quirky investment choice 10 years ago. Remember how people used to sneer in the investment community if you mentioned gold, and maybe they could be quite patronizing about it. And now, of course, everybody says that it's the best thing since sliced bread. Well, I did a review here today, which I will shortly post, where I looked at gold in a number of different currencies, and it is remarkably firm. And it has firmed up and regained at least half of the decline that we had seen following that key day, beg your pardon, that weekly key reversal back in the end of April. Remember, gold had become overextended, not as overextended as silver, but it had become overextended relative to its medium-term trend mean, represented by the rising 200-day moving average. And then as silver fell back, gold got hit with a weekly key reversal, and it duly fell back. And I was hoping in this period of seasonal quiet that we might see a further consolidation, see it get back, gold get back close to the mean over the next couple of months before picking up again in next 2 or 3 months before picking up again in September. Well, that could still be the possibility, but the action is good, and the medium-term trend, if you look at all those gold charts, and I commend them to you, the medium-term trend shows that the angle of gold's ascent has steepened somewhat. That's often the case in a very powerful bull market overall. It's not euphoric. Silver was euphoric for a while, although I still don't think that's the big one in terms of silver's top. And I'm now having to reconsider and wondering if, well, is gold going to run here in the short term? It has once again, and not wait around until till September for a major move. I would prefer it, as I said before, to pull back and consolidate a little bit further, because that would be a gift in terms of trend consistency. It would conform to the type of pattern that we've seen for really the last 10 years. On the other hand, if it runs sooner, and gold's at a new high against sterling, it's at a new high against the euro, and a number of other currencies, it had lagged most of all against hard resources currencies such as the Australian dollar, where it had really been ranging since a peak in 2009 and still is, but it's on the upper side of that range and the lows are rising. So when we get a picture where gold is rising pretty well against all fiat currencies, that's when we get the best moves. Now, it's not quite there yet, but it wouldn't take much more to the upside for gold to be hitting new highs against everything in fiat currency terms. And that would be a powerful and bullish signal. So I think it's going to do it. Does it do it short term, which would be somewhat riskier, or does it do it in September, where it would have more of a consolidation underneath prices before the next, to fuel the next advance, which would be safer and probably an even better move? I'm undecided on that. But those of you who are holding your gold bullion have every justification to go on and continue to do just that. And on that note, folks, I'm going to say goodbye for a while. I'll be back on the 6th. I will actually, given there's a holiday, a UK holiday, in the works, I'm only missing 7 market days, 3 of them this week and 4 of them next week. It seems like a long time till June 6th, so I'll miss the fray and the commentary, but I need the rest as well, and we'll certainly enjoy the family company. And I wish you every success, both in enjoying your lives and in looking after yourselves in these somewhat tricky markets here right now. All the best.